And welcome to another edition of the War Room here on KOKC this Monday morning. I'm your host, Sean Fry, joined by, I don't even know how to describe the man, so we're just going to say he's Andy Hopper, assistant baseball coach, assistant boys basketball coach, Babe Ruth baseball extraordinaire, just whatever, insurance salesman, so you know you can't trust him. How you doing, Andy?
Hey, jack of all trades, master of none right there. doing great. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about, let's just jump right in to a role you served at throughout the winter, which was assistant boys basketball coach. And let's talk about what Parsons did in basketball a little bit this year. Made the state tournament, but at the same time, you guys were just a few games over 500. Mm-hmm. It was certainly an up and down year for a lot of reasons. You know, and on the court, I know you guys struggled with some turnovers a lot, but you also found a way to really embody what the previous classes had done. The identity was still play fast, play good defense. And, you know, to me, Parsons basketball looked a lot like it had over the last few years. And that is truly a testament to the players that you had that were anxious to make their own legacy. You guys, and then the other difficulties were you guys had to miss games due to COVID. I mean, just, I mean, the scheduling nightmare that was the high school basketball season. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to, you know, just, you've had some time to reflect on the year now, what you think about it.
You know, it was, of course, with COVID and all the hurdles that we had to jump through throughout the season, just in that aspect was tough. But another thing I think that we proved this year, and this is a testament to Anthony, or Coach Houck, and all the great things he's done, is that our program isn't just about having great athletes. You know, mm-hmm. we've created a winning culture, and I think this senior class really showed that in their leadership and the way we played. And like you said, I know we were only a couple games over 500, but getting back to that state tournament was just a great, great.
It was a well-earned berth to the state tournament, too. You had to go on the road to do it.
Yes, yes.
And beat a good LeBec County team that played really well against you in that semifinal round. I mean, LeBec County probably played two of their three best games of the year against you guys. Yes. And they beat you once at home. And then, honestly, that other one was a loss. LeBec County played well that night you beat them in that semifinal. Mm-hmm.
They did. They have some kids that can shoot it and kids that play well. I mean, I think that just carries on to show when you've had the type of results and victories and things you have in the last few years before that, you get everybody's best shot, even mm-hmm. when you don't have the Drake and Daquan and those guys. So you still get everybody's best shot, and we did. Those two times we did play LeBec County, and they played well, obviously beat us one time, and then the next time played well, we were just able to squeak it out.
You're in the locker room with those kids. I'm curious, do the Paxtons and Juliuses and Ethans get tired of hearing of the Dariqs and Daquans, even though they love those guys and they're probably mm-hmm. close to them? Do they get tired of hearing that they have to live up to them?
I'm not sure that they get tired of it, because that was never something that, I mean, that was kind of outside noise, I guess, and having to live up to them. But they were really good about and mature enough to tune that out and really just kind of put the blinders on and come to work and grind every day at practice. I would say no, they didn't really get tired of that, because I think Coach Al did a good job of kind of drowning out that white noise and just focus on the task at hand each night.
He does a good job of, and I've always said this, I said this before the era of the pandemic, he does a good job creating a bubble around that team.
He does. It is, I don't want to say he goes as far as say it's us against everybody else, but it's,
oh, yes, I mean, it is. That is his mentality. And that's not a bad thing. I don't think that's out of character for him.
Right. And I guess I don't want to take away from all the people that do support us. And, mm-hmm. and even though they give their input and things, that we just, they're not there every day and they don't see it. So we really have to, I mean, I guess we do. You know, it is everybody else mm-hmm. outside and just us in that middle.
So. You know, so you look at all the struggles you guys had. What was so interesting to me, it was going into your second game against Pittsburgh, which was a very close competitive game. Pittsburgh edged it out. Mm-hmm. They were playing their fifth game in like 5 days, and you were playing your fifth game in a month.
Right.
Well, I mean, just all the scheduling hurdles you guys had to undergo. I'm curious as to what basically you guys had to shut down early right before winter break, mm-hmm. and then you guys just hit a slog where you guys didn't play many games, and part of that was due to weather too. Mm-hmm. What effect did that have on your season, do you think?
You know, and that's something I talked to the other coaches about, is not until about, well, after Christmas break, we were never at 100%. I mean, as far as having our top seven guys out of quarantine and things, and then we did have some injuries late that some guys played through, like Paxton Swanson and things. Mm-hmm. So it was an up and down season due to a lot of reasons and also injuries and things. So it was just, you had to be really mentally tough and stubborn to get through it. I mean, that's what I kind of chalk it up to, as far as all the hurdles we had to jump and things that we worked through. And it was just tough, you know, and I'm just so happy and proud of those boys for what they've accomplished in the midst of all that.
They did something that the last few classes, I'm honestly not sure any class in Parsons had ever done, which is make state all 4 years.
Right.
I mean, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't realize how tough it is, because that's a lot of variables being thrown at you over 4 years. The variables of seeding and records and what other teams are doing.
Yes.
I mean, it truly becomes you against everybody else, and it becomes you against the system mm-hmm. to make it 4 years in a row. That is a testament to true success.
Right. And I will, that is something we thought. We didn't know the last time that it happened. So Hauk actually did do some research, and that happened two other times. There was one error that they made it 5 times in a row, and another that I think they made it 7. So I guess you
can. And that had to have been, well, that had been back a little bit.
Yes,
you're talking was, 70s and 80s.
Yes, 70s and 80s, yes. It was in those eras of some really good Viking basketball.
That culminated with some state titles during that time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, let's look around the league a little bit. I'm curious what your take is on what the league might look like next year. I think there's a case to be made for almost every single team in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't count Pittsburgh out. They're a 5A right. school that always has good talent around them. And yes. say what you want about them being a one-man show with Javon Grant. Mm-hmm. They all played well around him. They knew mm-hmm. how to feed into that. And if you have a group of players that know what to do to make you most successful, it's hard to envision they're bad basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
Chanute was very young this year, and they bring basically everybody back.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, Chanute's probably my on-paper pick.
Mm-hmm.
Parsons, you guys are probably right. You guys are right in the mix as well. Hard to deny a team that has 4 straight state berths.
Mm-hmm.
LeBette County played a lot better down the stretch. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are, and they bring basically everybody back. Eli Heston might be the best player in the league next year, at least be one of the better guards.
Mm-hmm.
Independence is going to have the best post player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
In Easton Ewing, he's a 6'6" kid who has a 30-inch vert. I mean, that kid is an athlete.
Yes.
Coffeyville's probably the one maybe you write off in terms of truly being in that race, but you know they have athletes there. You know they're always going to be competitive. They gave you guys some competitive games this year. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a new coach. We'll see what that system looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Scott played really well this year.
Yeah.
What's the picture that you're seeing?
I mean, you kind of nailed it on the head with a lot of them. I know Coffeyville has a great freshman class coming in. We went and watched our middle school play them, and they've got a lot of talent from that 8th grade class coming in as freshmen, and also a good freshman class that'll be sophomores that some of those kids got some minutes this year. Chanute, like you said, they're going to be tough. I mean, it's just there's going to be no easy games next year. And I mean, that's kind of been the deal with the last few years of it. But you may see some different shifts and things, and we got a really good freshman, some young guys coming up that'll fill in around Paxton, said, and some of those guys. And yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I really don't have any picks for who I would say would be at the top of things, but obviously probably Chanute with what they bring. And then, like you said, LeBette County. I mean, they bring back everybody. And Heston, if he gets out, they're a tough team to beat.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people forget LeBette County beat Chanute, and they were the top 4A team in the league this year in terms, because mm-hmm. that's they got that seed to justify it.
Right.
I mean, they were, you had to go to their place to beat them in a sub-state game.
Mm-hmm.
LeBette County got a win over them. It was a wild year in the league too. I mean,
it was, and I think you just never knew what you were getting night to night, and it could have been. I mean, you kind of do that during a normal season due to injury and things, but with COVID and quarantine and issues and things like that, I mean, you never know what you're going to get. Your best player could be out. Your first guy off the bench. So it was a tough battle, and hopefully we're through that next year, and teams can keep everybody healthy and things, and it'll be more of some consistency throughout.
We did a pre-show conversation yesterday over the phone about what we wanted to talk about when you came in, and you mentioned the idea of maybe bringing some stuff up on the radio. I just want you to see who I'm texting as we go to a quick break here.
Yeah. Nice.
We'll go to a break. When we come back, more Andy Hopper here on the War Room here on KLKC. And welcome back to the War Room here on KLKC. I'm your host, Sean Fry, joined by Andy Hopper, Parsons boys basketball assistant coach, baseball assistant coach, insurance salesman. Let's talk about everybody's favorite topic, your wife, Brooke.
yeah, she's a dandy, right?
That's
yeah.
right. She is she's the volleyball coach at Parsons High School. So it's a bit of a coaching family that you got there. What's the dynamic like in the house day-to-day when you know you both are coaching a large swath of kids at that high school?
You know, it's fun. I'd be lying if I say at times it didn't get tough for us, but we basically, when one of us is coaching, we have no expectations for the other, and we kind of turn into a single parent, which is okay. You know, it works for us because we know Brooke is doing what she loves, I'm doing what we love, and that's what kind of fills our cup. So at the end of the day, we're happier doing what we love. So,
you know, Brooke is in a much – you have been on the boys basketball staff for a while. Brooke has been in a much different boat, I think, for the last few years that she's been a coach, which is on the girls program, on the girls side, they are really trying to rebuild. They've been trying to rebuild for basically since Nina Taylor left. I'm curious what toll you feel like that takes on her when she just in the aggregate.
She enjoys it. She enjoys it. I would say it's a good thing. She's real stubborn. You know, and because that's something she's like, but she knows what these girls are capable of, and she believes in every single one of them. And it's just, she cannot wait to push them to reach her potential. And that's what she hangs on to every day. So as far as this, what toll it's going to take on her, I think this, and I tell her all the time, these tough years are going to make the good ones so much better. And that's what she hangs on to. And that's what she just fights through, I guess.
I will forever be on the blacklist for Brooke, because I remember I went to go cover volleyball. Labette was hosting a try, or I think it was a quad, but Labette was hosting volleyball, and Parsons and Indy were there, and I think Chanute was there too. But Parsons and Indy were there, and I watched Labette County's first match, and then I watched a little bit of Parsons' second match, or Parsons' first match, and their first match was against Independence, and I left about midway through the first set because I had to get back to the office and do something. I wasn't just leaving because I just wanted to. Mm-hmm. I generally had to leave and do something. Mm-hmm. But Bria Scheibe texted me and said, what do you think about Parsons Indy? And Independence had been playing very well up to that point. And obviously Parsons had the record that they did. I was like, I would imagine Independence would sweep that match. Mm-hmm. Well, Brooke won that one, and so did the Parsons girls, and I never heard the end of it after that.
Yes.
Apparently, Brio went right to Brooke and stitched on me. So, yes. What the hell do I know, right?
The wife mafia got you.
That's exactly what it is.
So she's going to hang that over your head for a while, trying to use his leverage. You know?
That's what she thinks about, like, in random moments when she sees me, like, walking down the street or passing her in the halls at the high school or just walking. Or she sees me in public. That's what pops in her head is, he didn't think we could beat Indy.
Yes. And you just added more fuel to her fire right there. So.
I will say this. They went from, what, one win to nine in 1 year? That is significant, tangible improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next step to me, when you're talking about a rebuild, is once you start finding that, okay, you're capable of winning some games, you're capable of being competitive against some good teams, you're capable of even beating them. That's what they proved against Independence, is, okay, how do we – I don't think the next step is, oh, okay, how do we go win a league title? If they're capable of doing that, you know, huzzah to them. But I think the next step is, how do we get above 500? There are only a few matches probably off that.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a coach. You've been around athletics your whole life. What's your advice to your wife in that step of the process?
Just keep focusing on the day-to-day grind. Don't get too wrapped up in the big picture and trying to do it all in one night. And when you have those nights where you lose the teams maybe you shouldn't have, or you're picked to win, you know, just think next game, have a short memory, and just keep on grinding. I think that's the key to it. And, you know, as far as any advice I'd give to her, just, you know, don't ever get ahead of yourself and don't ever put those expectations, have expectations and you know, when you fall short of those expectations, don't take it lightly, but don't dwell on it.
Mm-hmm. So. Let's make a hard turn now. Your next role is assistant baseball coach for the Parsons Vikings, taking mm-hmm. over for the much beloved Eric Lyons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were going to be the assistant last year, if I remember correctly, right? Before the season got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that right there. I've asked everybody who's experienced that question. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction when that spring season got canceled?
It was really tough. It was tough, but
you were coming off just nothing but trauma with how that boys basketball season had ended with Derek's injury and the upset loss mm-hmm. to Rose Hill, and then seeing the state tournament canceled. Just, I mean, everything was really culminating at that point.
Right.
And I don't say trauma as in, oh, you were that upset you lost, mm-hmm. although I'm sure you were. I say trauma as it was trauma for everybody at that point.
You know, it was. And thinking back to that, it was, I don't know that my head was so much worried about not having a baseball season. It was worried more or less. We were kind of, our country was in a hysteria of can we keep everybody safe?
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it felt like the right thing to do, is as tough as it was. But baseball to me seemed so small at that point, in our country's history, I guess. And at that time. So
how does baseball feel to you now as we're approaching the season?
You know, it's great to get outside. As much as I love those, our Parsons gyms and being part of that basketball staff and everything, it's getting outside has been great. Working with Gerald and Luke Manners and Coach Palmier has just been awesome. Those guys are all great. And just getting to know some of the kids that I didn't know through basketball and not working at the high school that I don't have relationships with, it's just been awesome to start to build those and get after it and just, you know, kind of start a new adventure.
Third place finish, not that far back for the Parsons baseball team. You know, Gerald Beamore has built something nice there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious you know, we just talked about expectations and not dwelling on them, but but still striving for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are your expectations for the baseball team this year for the Vikings?
You know, they're a little bit up in the air as far as not playing last year. We're talking
hard to gauge.
It's hard to gauge. So coming, we have Ethan Howard that comes back and a great senior class. And then we got some juniors with Paxton Swanson and some others but actually I foresee us having some freshmen in that varsity mix and being, I wouldn't necessarily call us young because we do have those players in that junior and senior class, but just kind of being, I could see
inexperienced
in that varsity level. So, it's going to kind of depend on, in my opinion, how those younger guys how quick us as a staff can get them up to speed and get them playing at a varsity level and competing.
You, one thing I think that anybody always has opinions on is are the rules when it comes to high school baseball, particularly mm-hmm. the pitch count limits and everything like that. We saw that affect Parsons at the state tournament a couple years ago when they played against Pratt in the first round on that first day. They made the decision, we're going to throw Noah Chalker now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably a winning decision that got them to that mm-hmm. second day. It allowed them to finish in third in that tournament. But then you also see that, I mean, I feel like a state title in a lot of ways is determined by who has the best number three pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand I actually agree with the pitch count rule in the regular season. I would advocate doing away with it once regionals rolls around because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the postseason is for, is to kind of push hard mm-hmm. or just adjusting the rule somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you don't want a kid throwing 300 pitches.
Right.
But, you know, I'm curious, you know, what these... You and I addressed the pitch count limit rule kind of indirectly when you came on the show a year ago and we talked about Babe Ruth. You said that Parsons High School needs more depth at pitcher. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're working on with these younger kids right now. That's what we're working on with these 10-year-olds
mm-hmm.
is we're going to make sure that that when Parsons High School gets to this class, they're going to have three or four pitchers in mm-hmm. them. How do you see that whole puzzle forming right now?
You know, that's one of those things that, like we talked about a year ago, it's, you never want to see a 12-year-old go out and throw 100 plus pitches and things like that. So, I'd agree with you. I think there needs to be, I do agree with the pitch count to an extent. I do think it should be maybe raised a little bit higher, in the high school level, but I think they do have some science to back that up that I haven't done research on or anything. So, so maybe I'm not quite on the right side of that. However, you know, you're right. You have to, it is that third best pitcher. So I think to tweaking that come regional time wouldn't be a bad idea. But as far as I think bringing these younger guys in, I think Parsons High School will very soon have go 4 or 5 guys deep with quality pitching that can throw strikes and get outs. And that's what we're striving for. And I think some of the classes we got coming up will have that as well. So I think a great era of Viking baseball is going to continue to roll, I guess, because I mm-hmm. think with that third place finish, it has already started. So yeah.
Parsons Babe Ruth kind of in that middle to late elementary school age right now has really dominated the Babe Ruth scene over mm-hmm. these last few years. How well do you see that faring all the way through the middle and high schools?
I think it'll do great things for us, because if you think back to that third place finish, those guys, they didn't really play a ton of travel ball, Noah Chalker in that class. Mm-hmm. They played through that Babe Ruth system and that it obviously worked out for them. So I think as much as we keep supporting that and diving into that and basically offering baseball to the masses as opposed to just travel ball where you specifically focus on mm-hmm. on one specific group, will do well for us moving forward.
You know, one last thing that we'll talk about real quick is the local Babe Ruth League. They have a new president, new kind of boss man after Rex Winkle left. I loved Rex Winkle.
Mm-hmm.
It's David Wheat is running the show now, right?
Yeah, he is actually. I believe he's our no, not our treasurer. He is part, but yeah, he's doing a lot. But actually, Mike Ramsey
has
taken
right.
over as,
right. I knew
as
that.
President. Me as vice president, and then you got Jennifer Isinger and a ton more great mm-hmm. volunteers. So
I'll say this: I thought Rex Winkle did a fantastic job, and Rex Winkle gets etched into this town's history for bringing sports back from the mm-hmm. pandemic.
I agree.
The first competitive event to be held in this town mm-hmm. was the Parsons Babe Ruth baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was through the work of Rex Winkle and that whole mm-hmm. league. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that was a tough bullet to bite last year. And I know how much this town loves its Babe Ruth. I'm curious what you see the future of it coming out of that pandemic season.
I foresee, and I haven't taken a look at the numbers yet, I see our numbers being up a little bit.
They were way down last year, as anticipated.
Right. And I see them being up just with the end of COVID, everybody getting vaccinated and being safe again. Mm-hmm. I see our numbers being up, just kids wanting out of the house and wanting to get active. Maybe parents wanting them out of the house as well. So. So I see our numbers being up, obviously, from the last couple of years, and hopefully, you know, keeping the tradition of Babe Ruth alive. And just to talk on Rex Single for a second, just that he is etched in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Just not only when they moved, it's just losing a great friend. It was losing a great family with great kids in our community and everything. And that was just a tough one to swallow, because he was just he saw a big picture and he had a vision of where Babe Ruth needed to go and losing him.
He was not afraid of any step that he felt was best yes. for the league.
Yes, he was not afraid to rattle that cage and get us out of and get people open to change yes. moving forward. So yes, I agree and I'll miss him like crazy.
For sure. That'll do it for the War Room. Any last parting words about anything?
Nope. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Andy. That'll do it here on the War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Everybody stay safe. Get vaccinated. I got my second Moderna shot last week. My arm feels like it wants to fall off, but that's it. Anybody who feels sick when they get the vaccines, that's a sign that it's working. So get vaccinated, stay safe. The light's at the end of the tunnel, and God bless.